welcome to the Curry and Claypo Show. We're a little early. Good morning there, Dr. Josh Claypo.
Good morning. How are you?
Today, monster day today. Today is National Birth Control Pills Day.
Timely.
It really is. We're going to get into a guy dating expert, finally. You didn't notice all dating experts are women?
I thought you were a dating expert about men. No, it's a guy who's dating.
It's a guy who's dated for a long period of time. He's not married. He's not married. And yes. He's got his 10 for 10 dating secrets. And that is, if you want to go find someone who's a 10 for 10, not 10 look-wise, but if you want to make it, like, how was your date last night? It was a 6. He's got a 10 for 10, and he's got a 10-year rule, which is something we got into about the Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian thing. We'll get into that. Speaking of Kim Kardashian, Skims, we got a big-time issue for women. If you're a woman and you're watching right now, Andy is watching right now. If Andy's wearing Skims, you need to listen to the story because it's super important. I read the story, and I was like, seriously?
It's like a health thing?
Yeah. It's not good. It's not, and you don't even know, you don't even know what's happening. You don't even know what's
bacterial
happening.
Bacterial infection?
We'll talk about that. Also, in a brand new Discovery Plus docuseries called The Princess Investigation, we found out yesterday that Princess Diana actually prophesied her death 2 years before a car crash. She said, "I will die in a car crash in a couple of years." Kind of spooky. Follow-up to the hashtag Bama Rush story we did. We did that, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I saw the controversy.
It's taken over social media, but this year's recruitment process has prompted many ex-members now to reveal the truth behind the crazy culture of Bama Rush.
Great.
Beyond being highly addictive, the TikTok videos about Bama Rush highlighted the exclusivity of Greek life, laying bare claims of racism, classism, and sexism. Behind these sparkling skirts, blonde hair, and fake tans, University of Alabama students have now come out in force and talked about their experiences and how miserable they were by the bullying and the fines. Ex-sorority members disabled all the dirty little secrets behind the Greek life when a college student shared a video asking why so many chose to quit. Users claimed the sisterhood community revolved around hatred, money, and looks, with one member saying she even had clothing brands checked daily. She wasn't wearing the right clothing brands, she'd be kicked out. We talked about this.
I don't think anyone will debate that.
Yeah.
It absolutely exists.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And there are definitely wonderful pockets of sororities, but it's like, I mean, look, it's the same like with fraternity. You hear that, there's no hazing.
Yeah.
Bullshit, there's total hazing. And that's, you know, particularly at this level, oh my God. I knew that this was going to happen. As soon as anything goes viral, I can't remember, you've got a great phrase the way you talk about it. As soon as anything gets popular or lots of people
start. Sinkhole mentality.
Well, that, and then they start, everybody's looking for the dirt.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's looking for the dirt. And the thing about sororities and fraternities, there's a lot of dirt to find real easily.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly. I mean, my kids are like, oh, yeah, I mean, you should see the stuff that goes on.
Yeah.
So this thing got so big, it was just a matter of time before, and not even time. Look, it took no time.
Yeah. The fines are unbelievable. Some girls were talking about, like, one girl's dad died the day before, and she missed the recruiting process, and they charged her $800 for it. She's like, my dad just passed away. Another girl said that because she didn't look exactly like every other girl in the sorority, she wasn't allowed to be in. So she changed her hair color, and they still didn't let her in.
You're going to see lawsuits. You're going to see sanctions.
Yeah.
You're going to see, actually, you're not going to see lawsuits. You're going to see sanctions.
They're also making every sorority at the University of Alabama do diversity training. Because roughly 87% of all women who go to the University of Alabama are white, which is down.
80% of the women who go to the university or in sororities?
In sororities.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
In sororities, which is down about 4%. It used to be higher than that. 53 years ago right now, and I went through it because Woodstock started 53 years ago this past, it would have been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but because of the...
Yeah.
And the lineup.
Oh, yeah, played...
Arlo Guthrie started like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then it was Canned Heat, The Who, Crosby, Stills, Nash. I mean, one band after another. The Who, it was unbelievable. It went all night long. Crosby, Stills, Nash played like at 4:15 in the morning on the last night. And the last band to play was Jimi Hendrix, and he took the stage at 9 o'clock.
In the morning.
On Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That was the last
band. It's like a revival. That's awesome, yeah.
I mean, isn't it great? I mean, for, you know, for a concert, you think, why the hell would you have people? And I don't know why those bands were playing all night, because you have all day Sunday afternoon. You can play bands. But maybe by then, people just petered out, and they were just done. But yeah, 53 years ago right now, Jimi Hendrix started playing the Star Spangled
Banner. That's so iconic. I love that. I love that.
It's crazy, man. What's going on with you? Everything good?
Yep. I'm trying to think if there's any... No, nothing. Nope.
Heard you had a fantastic taping yesterday with Dr. Alex Ublein.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry.
Dr. Parrish. And by the way, Dr. Parrish on now every day of the week, 7 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday. All of our shows, all 13 shows, including Need to Know with Kip Kiefer, Dark Side of the Pooch. We have Win in Rome with Stuart Rome. We have Live Wire Wednesday. That runs on Wednesdays. We have the Blues Almighty show. We have Damon Johnson show. All these, Curry and Claypo. Every show we have runs 5 days a week, so you can check it out 7 o'clock live every night right here on TKR.
We had an amazing show yesterday. It was banking, and everyone was like, oh, boring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. We had a guest from London who you will hear. His name is Bijou Babu.
Bijou Babu. I like it.
Bijou is just, I think I want to change my name to Bijou. Yeah.
And he loved being on, too.
He's amazing. And listen, people think banking is boring. I learned more about, like, security issues and you know, it's called fintech, financial technology companies. And this is, like, this is the Venmos and the Bill.com. And the amount of both security, risk, and kind of opportunity for the consumer in it is just, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about the show, and particularly this show. It was like, all this shit that you have no idea, but absolutely affects you directly. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, not indirectly, oh, there's different technology. This is like, okay, when you use Venmo, here is what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And Bijou was great, because this is, he runs a company out of Italy. And that's what's great about the show, is we sort of do the whole range from if you're a business down to the consumer, and what kind of impact it has on your life, and what kind of impact banking and more importantly, like, business should have on the way you navigate your life.
Are you a cash guy at all?
Am I what?
Cash guy.
No, I have no cash.
I had a $100 bill yesterday, and I went out to try to use it. I could not use my $100 bill yesterday, and it pissed me off, because I'm like, it says right here, legal tender, you must take this money.
What? Yeah.
Because
nobody takes cash. Well,
but the more times you use your debit card or credit card, the more chances you have to have fraudulent activity.
Oh, yes.
I've had my stuff taken three different times.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't tell me it doesn't happen. And I've been overcharged numerous times.
You have to check. Well, you have to check. Well, that's the difference.
You don't realize how much you use it. It's like texting. You know, how many times did I text it? And you're like, three or four times. You look, it's been 35 times. You don't realize you use your debit card like 600 or 700 times a week. And to go back and check all that stuff is kind of a pain in the butt. But I know if I have cash, I'm good. Yeah. I pay cash. I get my cash back. I always like to have a little cash in my pocket.
Listen. For money management, like, just for... We are so immediate gratification, and we want ease, right? We want it to be easy. There's nothing wrong with that, except when it comes to spending money. You know, we used to talk about, okay, the problem with credit cards is it's so easy because you don't have, your bank account is not being depleted, blah, blah, blah. Like, Americans run up debt. Okay, made total sense. But we've taken that so far beyond our ability to control our own behavior. So if you think about it, now you can, you know, transaction money easily using Venmo or whatever. But the one to me that's most interesting is you don't have to take your credit card out anymore, right? Because you have the touchless. So literally all I have to do on my phone is push a button, ding, and I experience no consequences. There's nothing. I don't see it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I get my credit card bill. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't realize I knew that my charges. The amount of self-control that it takes to manage that, and you think, oh, yeah, go look at your credit card bill. Compare your credit card bills now to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we've made it so, we've created money, we've created spending that is absolutely invisible to us, except when. And that's why cash, yes, if somebody would take cash, It'd be awesome because
somebody can take cash.
Well, people don't even know what cash is. I made someone
take a pack. I mean, I got my meals, and you're not getting your meal back, so you're gonna take.
You know what?
Bucks.
I wonder if
go break it. If you're running a restaurant, and you can't break $100, then you got issues.
Wonder what a 4 year old would think, or a 3 year old, 4 year old would think if you showed them money. I'll bet you they have no idea what it is.
No, they probably wouldn't. And there was a big Bitcoin hack yesterday, too. I thought that was something you couldn't hack into. Someone stole $60 million in Bitcoin yesterday. I don't even know what that's worth or whatever, because Bitcoin's... I'm like, don't tell me that it's impossible to hack or it's impossible to... Yeah, whatever.
And listen, just say, one more last push for Dr. Pierce. Mm-hmm. We addressed all of that on our show yesterday, and we are having Bijou. I just want to say it again, Bijou.
Bijou.
Bijou. We're having him back to talk about global regulations and, more importantly, differences in the way different countries bank, which is super interesting. I mean, I won't get you got to listen to the show.
Do you want to get into this dating expert guy, or do you want to get into our skim story?
Get in the skim story because I need to wind right up. Is this going to be gross? Is it gross?
A little bit? Not for us.
Well, just in general.
Okay, you know, women, this is, and we've always said we much rather be men than women. It's hard to be a woman in this world, it really is, for a lot of different reasons. But we know that women run the world, because without that, nothing would happen. Men fight and kill each other over it. We start wars over that, right?
Yeah, we say that they do that because that's part of the way the patriarchy works.
It really does.
You know, you're really running the world.
Women could end everything right now just by saying, no more sex until things change. And the world would change by Tuesday.
Yeah, but you'd have to get everybody.
I know, but I mean, if they want, okay, fine. No more sex. You would, the world
that
would
just shows,
the world
it
would
shows
implode.
How, I don't want to say pathetic, weak. I had a conversation.
No, but I mean, it's something
day.
We need to have. We need to be intimate. But I mean, if women just said, I'm shutting it down for the next 30 days until this changes, Roe versus Wade, but everything would change.
But flip it the other side.
Yeah.
If men said, just say men said, I'm shutting it down.
Okay.
That's exactly what women would be like.
All right.
Fine.
Go have fun at the lodge with your buddies. You're going to play poker to your...
That's exactly. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
So women flocking to purchase designer... let me back this up a little bit. I was talking about Skims the other day on the show. It was one of my most listened to shows. A lot of women agreed with me. Skims are great. Now they got full body Skims. They go all the way up past your boobs, right?
Yep.
And I remember, and you had it for a while when you had your lipo thing, and I had laser lipo too 15, 16 years ago.
You gotta
wear a girdle, and it made you feel pretty good because it does hold it in. Now, you have to wear that from not just a cosmetic, but from a medical standpoint to hold everything together until everything flushes out and blah, 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 blah. And I came to find out that, you know, you put it on, you put a shirt on, you're like, damn, that looks pretty good. You know, it looks pretty good.
Well, they have it now for men. They're called core shirts. Yeah.
So the whole idea of wearing a skim product is to make yourself look better.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking better, you feel better, but it's all the shit's still in there. You're packing a really big ass into small pantyhose, and you're like, that looks pretty good.
Yep.
But eventually, you got to take it off. And so my point was being, if you're wearing it to look good for the opposite sex, which I think most of us probably are, we want to look good. We want to look good, and if we're eventually, the truth will come out. It's like sending out profile pictures of yourself 10 years ago. Eventually, you're going to meet her, and she's going to know what you look like. So if you end up meeting somebody, and you're wearing, or they're going to feel it, I guess the skin's now at the point where you can actually, it probably doesn't even, depending on whether you're wearing a sweater or something, you probably don't know. So my whole point is, you're living a lie. You might as well go out and just lose the weight so you look good like you normally do.
Well, yeah.
But if you're wearing Skims every single day.
Yeah.
So you feel better about yourself, eventually someone's going to find out. Now, if you're married, whatever, whatever. But eventually they're going to find out. So women are flocking to purchase, and I preface this, not safe for work to an extent, designer vagina surgery. After ultra-tight leggings have become uncomfortable or embarrassing thanks to the dreaded camo, called a labiaplasty, the procedure shrinks the labia minora, otherwise known as the flaps, with a price tag of more than $4,000. Dr. John Shivaflax, a chief surgeon at Signature Clinics in the UK, you know where that's at? You've been to the UK many times.
Yeah, I haven't been to the clinic.
Said that he has performed 4 times as many labiaplasties this year as he had last year.
Okay.
And he said he'll more than likely go 8 times as many just this year alone.
Okay.
Because women are wearing not only Skims, but they're wearing yoga pants.
Yeah, well, and yoga pants.
Lululemons.
Yeah, well, Lululemons. You're like an old guy.
So his exercise clothing is a little bit tighter, and it's form-fitting, so it does not pressure on that. It does put pressure on that area. They experience pain, discomfort, and general chafing. A lot of women will feel so uncomfortable that they'll avoid trying to wear this type of clothing, but they won't. Yoga pants have long been the culprit for crotch appearance suffering. He goes on to say, for those whose labia are enlarged, they can make them feel incredibly uncomfortable and exposed. If you watch the Kardashians, you know that for a fact. It's all really underlinked, choosing a pair of leggings which causes discomfort, which in turn draws attention to that area of the body and a need for surgery.
Okay.
Rather than not wear yoga pants, women... This is like 8 times as many women. This is not like a minor uptick. Oh, we got one more labiaplasty this week. That's interesting. Okay. We're talking 8 times as many women this year as last year.
Fix it.
They're getting surgery on that area of the body because they want to continue to wear their leggings? The Kardashians have long been touted as the wearers of athlete leisure culture, with Kim Skims brand dabbling in the trendy aesthetic. In fact, while designing her own bodysuit, she failed to keep those with bigger vaginas in mind, according to her sister.
Oh,
her sister Chloe said, you know, you guys always make fun of me of having a bigger vagina than most.
I love the Kardashians. I'm sorry.
I stop watching.
I know people hate them. I love the Kardashians for just that.
Telling your sister she needs to make a more comforting fabric around that area. She goes, what is it supposed to cover? It's incredibly uncomfortable.
There's nothing.
And that would be like,
Think about,
So, listen, I'm not getting in the story because it's sexual or titillating or exciting or Kardashian. I look at like 16 different sites every morning, and I'll mark things as interesting. That's interesting.
So what's your take?
And then when I get to the end, I'll go, okay, I don't have any stories, and I'll go back and look at some other things. I'll go, this is, and the story, I just cannot believe that women are willing to have surgery
down there. Listen, I know you say that, but this is the cultural issue. It really is. So I was just thinking about it as you're talking. I always do this. When you talk about women things and uncomfortable, like, okay, that'd be like us wearing a jog strap. No, I'm like, no, that'd be like us wearing compression shorts.
Yeah.
Okay? So that'd be like us wearing compression shorts in the gym or wherever, athleisure, and they were super tight.
Yeah.
We'd have some chafing, maybe.
Softball shorts.
Yeah.
That's the only comparison I got.
Well, yeah. Well, for me, it'd be compression shorts And, you know, depending on whether they'd be uncomfortable, maybe there'd be a little chafing and rub. We need Dr. Brian Christine, right? Yeah. So what would we do? We just stop wearing them. Or we wear bigger ones. Or we wear, right? But that's the difference, because we don't get judged. We don't get judged.
Yeah.
This is the difference. And women will say, or men will say, that women do it for women. And you can say that, but it's all being driven by what is desirable. Right? And so the logical thing would be, don't wear pants. You don't, if that's chafing, you don't have to wear pants that are like that. You don't have to wear pants that are tight. But yes, you do. Because that's the standard.
I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe it, but and this is not like a rich woman's type of thing. I'm wearing these pants. I'm not going to stop wearing these pants, so I must have surgery. I can't imagine how that discussion goes with her husband or her boyfriend. I'm going to go in for a $4,000 thing because I'm going to keep wearing my yoga pants because they're uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's not surprising because women have worn high heel shoes that bang up their feet for years. We appreciate that.
But it's it's not that we appreciate it. We made it happen.
Yeah.
You will not find somebody, you will not get promoted, you will not have a good position in a job, you will not think if you don't cram your feet in there. This is a classic example of fashion being driven in large part by
It's unbelievable. I ladies, don't do it. Don't do it for us. Get comfortable. I mean, if you're having surgery down there, and of course now women are saying that they're having surgery and there's no longer feeling down there if they don't do it right. I mean, I'm not messing with it. The boobs are with it. I'm not messing with that area of my body, dude.
But you can understand, you can understand the same way with a breast reduction.
Ladies do it. What's wrong with you?
But it's not, because it's us.
No, it ain't. Well, then it needs to be them.
No, but it
is. Stop.
But
Don't go have surgery on your hootie hootie because you can't wear the right pants.
You believe that. You believe that. Except there are a gazillion men who would say, "Well, she can't wear. You know, she doesn't look good in yoga pants. Or she does. Why don't you wear? Why don't you put those yoga pants on?"
That's one thing that women do add, though, man. Because I mean, I'm in a lot of meetings, and yoga pants now are like you can wear them to like dinners if they look good.
Yeah. But that's
guys can't do that. It's like it's like guys' sweatpants. We put sweatpants on. That's the easy way. You slide them up, you're out the door. I mean, you don't have to put a belt on or nothing. I can see where they're incredibly comfortable. But, I mean, and maybe it has something to do with the cold COVID thing, because I know a lot of women probably laid around their athleisure, their Lululemons. I don't know. What are you ladies doing? What are you doing? What?
But they're looking at you, and they're going, well, then stop making it a thing.
I'm not making it a thing.
You're not, but we do. We do.
No, I don't think. I totally disagree with you.
Okay.
We're not making the thing. The women are making the thing because it's comfortable for them. Women will tell you right now they love those because they're easy to put on. They can go to the store. They can go to church. They can do whatever. It's not us. We didn't create this shit. Kim Kardashian did. She's the one that started Skims. Women love it because Kim Kardashian, and they're like, if you can get that big ass in a pair of her Skims, then I certainly can get my big ass in a pair of Skims or Lululemons or whatever. So I'm going to do that. We didn't create this crap. The women did. This is a woman created fashion.
What? And so the surgery.
I'll take the high heels. We'll take the high heels part. That's our fault. All right. And makeup to an extent. Guys create makeup.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
We did. We did that. But I mean, I'm about to crave for Skims. This is on you, ladies. You guys are crazy.
The Skims or the surgery? Did you see what I'm saying?
Either one. I mean,
if it's uncomfortable because your vaginal area is getting chafed, what you're saying is don't have surgery.
Just wear a pair of underwear one time, man, and if something doesn't feel right, they're going to the trash if I don't feel right.
That's because you're a guy.
I have that free flow.
You're a guy. Get to. You don't have to. You don't got to wear panties. You don't.
I have worn panties before, and they are quite comfortable. You ever worn a pair of G-strings? You ever worn a thong before? Oh, you should try it one time.
I'm not wearing socks.
It's pretty amazing.
No.
It takes 2 or 3 days, you're really comfortable.
Why? Oh.
Just try it one time. They got a guy at thongs.
I know. Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Thongs don't do anything for me, male, female, anything.
Yeah.
Because I can't stop thinking about that. It's just shoved up your ass. It's just gross. Right? It's gross.
Al Cooper, good morning to you, Al. Let's go sell some cars at Coosa Valley Auto Sale today. Dear Steve, I hope you're happy with her. Now the whole town will know what a filthy cheater you are from Jenny. P.S. I bought this ad using your credit card. That is an ad that was taken out in a newspaper. Where was that at?
It's Australia.
Australia, yes. Yeah. And by the way, there was a response to that particular ad, which was hilarious, that was written by a bar. It says, "Dear Jenny, I'm sorry from all the thieves." We're going to get to that story on Fox 6 this morning at 9:35. What's the best way to handle a cheater?
So there's that part. But the other part I thought was really funny in this article, all the people, those are common names.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people going through their head.
Yeah.
Oh, I know a Jenny and Steve.
Yeah.
Could this be that Jenny? Oh, crap. I knew they had a relationship problem, but I didn't know. So there's all the people worrying about the Jenny and Steve.
No, we got some good comments on Facebook last night.
Oh, you got some of those. Great ones.
It was great. It was interesting because a lot of women said, you know, let it go. What are you doing?
Yeah.
A lot of women said, I hope she gets charged for using his fraudulent credit card. By the way, the newspaper did not use his credit card because it was done by her and they didn't want to have any fraudulent activity because they're afraid we'd get paid.
Yeah.
It was a $1,500 ad. I just, when you spend time, it's premeditated murder, right? When you spend that much time on something to make a point, I think it's totally counterintuitive. I think it's counterproductive. I don't see the process that. We'll talk about that on Fox 6 this morning at 9:35 with James.
Do you remember the conversation you and I had, was it this weekend when we were smoking cigars, about the arguments that we have in our head?
Oh, yeah.
Right? About we create sort of argument fantasies, right? And we literally, they're grounded in some kind of reality. Maybe it's somebody that we don't like or a ex-spouse or a boss, right? So it's not a complete fantasy, but what we do is we take that relationship and we take the emotion in that relationship. You know, they really piss me off kind of thing. Then we have this wonderful thing called our imagination. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking about this. we start playing out these fantasies. Ooh, if she said this, then I can see myself. I'd come back. And I'd first I'd take a step back. And yeah. I'd pause.
Yes.
Right? And then I'd lean in.
We were making sure that we weren't the only two people that did this.
No. Yeah. And this is, so what's interesting about this is, all of us do this. We play these kind of scenarios out in our head about what we would do or what it would feel great to do, even though we know, okay, I can't do that, or it's not appropriate to do that. And the great thing about fantasy is you can go even farther. I mean, to the point, we did a whole show on this about violent fantasies, about thinking about hurting somebody, and does that make you an abuser, et cetera. But what's interesting about this is that difference from it's playing out in your head, you're thinking about it, you're even pondering it, and I've done this. I could go in and have that kind of argument. It's beyond just a fantasy, you know.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday, when I have my one-on-one with this person, with my boss, I'm gonna, but at some point between now and Wednesday, we go, okay, here are the implications, right? Frontal part of your brain. If I do this, then this will happen. And if I do this, this will happen. And you think about in the workplace, they talk about all the time, there's, oh, don't burn bridges. Don't burn bridges.
No.
You got fired.
Yeah.
You want to tell them off.
Yeah.
You want to post crap on social media. And you're feeling it. And everyone around you is like, don't burn bridges. So you back it off.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you back it off, you still may be boiling in resentment.
Oh, yeah.
But the difference is, you've backed it off, and at some point, it begins to settle down. If it doesn't settle down, you go see a shrink, right? That's what we do. We help people deal with resentment.
Sometimes I have arguments with people that I don't have a beef against.
I know!
I mean, you'll find yourself, and I'll walk the neighborhood,
yes.
And someone will say, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, you're just being all animated. I'm like, I was.
Oh,
like,
you gotta be careful of the animation. Like, you know the thing.
They're like, are you okay? You having a seizure or something? I'm like, no, I just had an argument with my ex. It's all good.
See, well, that's, yeah.
But that's
healthy. But what she did.
In the shower, not when you're walking in the neighborhood.
You know, what she did. So there's two things that I want to know. One, there had to be somebody around her that said, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
Now, the question becomes, if there were 10 people around her, did 7 say, go for it? And 3 said, don't.
Yeah.
Retribution feels wonderful.
Does it?
Revenge? Oh, feels so good in the moment. In the moment.
Indirect revenge feels great. That's those people that say karma's a bitch.
But you gotta wait.
It's all gonna come out.
That's not revenge. Because that's karma. You gotta wait for karma. So we're not designed. Most of us are not designed.
I know, but when you create that revenge, depending on how much you're hurting that person or what you're doing to that person, whether you're throwing their clothes out the window, you're burning their car, or you're taking a full-page ad, it feels good. But I can't help but think, and I've never done this, but I can't help but think the empty feeling I had afterwards, because it doesn't change anything.
That's okay.
You're still sitting there going, okay, I got screwed. The thing that, two things that are interesting. I was surprised by how many women on Facebook were saying, did she have it coming? These are from women. And Lori, who's a good friend of mine, I worked with her for years. She's a great radio host and does a wonderful job. She's like, I wonder if it was her character, her personality that made him go cheat on her. And I was like, wow, because you don't normally hear that from women. We don't know the whole story.
So that part of it,
maybe she wasn't giving it. Maybe they had sex.
But there's two.
I thought
that's a different story. It's related, but that's a different story.
I thought that was really interesting. Yes. The other thing is normally when you take revenge at this level, you've been hurt really, really bad, right?
Yes.
This doesn't happen early in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You find out the guy's cheater. And normally, it's screw me once, screw me twice. She probably knew he was cheating for a long period of time because there's red flags out there.
Great.
And never took her gut instinct and went with it early enough to the point where she got so far in. Because you get this point where you trust somebody, right? And then they do something that is really strange, bizarre. They're late. They're getting home. They're jumping out of vans and alleyways or spy stores. And at that point, you're asked to do something. You're asked to call bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you take your trust to a level that you didn't think even existed. And 99% of people go, I've been in a relationship, I'm going to go with the way I feel, I love him, I trust him, he's a good father, he's done all these wonderful things, why, and maybe he's just going through a tough time.
Because I don't want to think of
that. And so they take that trust, and it's not warranted. It's an empty trust.
Is it?
It takes his trust here, up to here, and so they're like, nope, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to take the shot with a little seed of doubt.
Because I don't think it's trust.
Because it's not trust. It's not trust.
Right.
You think it is, because you have to trust them, or else you're going to have World War III. You're going to call them out, but you're going to go, you know what? I have, based on who I think this person is and what I've seen.
You're twisting yourself.
I know. And that is the times when you do.
Right, because it's the fate. It hurts. It's the fate. You have to face the unthinkable.
You're forced to trust. Is not something that should be forced. Trust is something that's earned.
Yes.
It takes a long time. And I've been there. I did it with my... When you mess up, you got to build that back. When you're forced, when someone calls you out and says, do you trust me or not? You got a problem.
Yeah.
You got a problem. First of all, you should never be asked that question. Second of all, if you're finding yourself having to step into a trust area that you're not comfortable with, there ain't no trust there in the first place. That's why you need to call it out and get after it. I don't know what the deal is.
But the difference is...
And I think a lot of people get really upset with themselves, and they feel better about taking it out on that person so they can at least create some type of closure. I think she probably thought, he's been cheating on me for damn years, and my dumb ass never saw it. My friends were telling me, I knew the girl he was doing it with, and I still trusted him, and this feels better for me to take out a full page.
Absolutely. I mean, what's so fascinating about that is exactly what you just said, which is, he did something repeatedly bad to her. Mm-hmm. Cheated on her over and over again. Okay, so he's done the bad thing. But where she's feeling bad, it's like two levels. One, that he did those things, but it's exactly what you point out. It's, how could I keep coming back? Or how could I allow him to do this over and over and never say anything? So it goes from, there's two things playing. One, there is the anger and the maybe the hatred for him. And then there's a self-loathing.
Yeah.
How could I let this happen? So you put those two things together, and it's like chemicals, and you get this explosion for her of just horrible, intense loathing, and it gets all mixed up. I hate him, and I hate myself.
Yeah.
I hate him, and I hate myself. And so this ad is this, like, it's cathartic. It's this explosion of, I'm going nuclear. Yeah. I'm going to go, and the process, now here's the part that I think is really interesting. We talk about having these impulsive fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about, okay, this is premeditated. You got to think about what you were going to say.
Right, yeah.
You got to think about, but that part, that's like having the fantasy. Okay, first, I'm going to take out that hat. Yeah, that's what
she had to turn around pretty quick.
Well, no, I have to take out that. Okay, what am I going to say? Scribble it down. Mm-hmm. No, that's not good enough. So there is, as you're doing this, the revenge reinforcement is happening. And you get all the way to the point of, this is the perfect revenge. She publishes it, she has it printed. And when it comes out, there is this, yeah. And then, as you pointed out, then there's the fall off. Because now what?
Yeah, well, at the end, you ask the question, who is painted in a more favorable public light? Her or him?
And
I'll say this, and a lot of people say, I don't care, blah, blah. Well, obviously it does. This was very, very public. She put it in a newspaper.
Yes.
She wanted the world to know. Just from a guy's standpoint, she's crazy.
Well,
she's crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? And I can promise you, he's probably looking at the ad. He's probably smirking, laughing a little bit. I don't know if they were married. I don't know if they have kids. I don't know any of this stuff. Let's just assume they were just dating. The girl he was screwing with, she probably knew about the other girl, so she doesn't care because they were doing it when they got caught. But he's going to be out drinking a beer tomorrow night. So, she could be able to show her face for a year.
So you got to, listen, you just painted, what she did by writing that ad is put herself in a category that's a category of bad look that is consistent with his bad luck. It's like apples and oranges, but they're apples and oranges. He's a cheater.
Yeah.
He's a cheater. He doesn't look No matter what she did, he doesn't look good. Yeah. He cheated. Now, he's a cheater, and she's nuts. So now you got two. Now you got two. What you just did by putting that ad out was, instead of sort of taking the high road and looking like a healthy, scorned, pissed off person, now you look like you're batshit crazy.
And what also paints her in a light that's not good to our women's responses. The first thing I'm thinking of is, what'd she do wrong?
What do you mean? What'd she do wrong to get him to cheat? No, that's terrible. You don't do that.
But I mean, we don't know the situation. We don't know if she was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
We don't know if she cut him off. We don't know what kind of girl she is.
Maybe she contributed, but don't.
From a guy's standpoint, that's what we think. We think, well, I wonder what. Because if she was beautiful or loving and just all 10 for 10.
Oh, but come on, stop. We've done this a million times with celebrities. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, for public perception, if it's a small town, there's every guy in the world right now going, staying away from her.
Well, yes.
And they're probably seeing him going, she got the last laugh there. And he's like, whatever.
Yeah, but not because she.
And he's got somebody and she doesn't.
Well, we should not immediately thinking, why would he cheat on her?
No,
that's what I'm saying.
No, but I mean, that's something you think about.
Yeah. What's more concerning about that is, to go that far, there's something terribly wrong.
Yeah, I've had rocks thrown at my car.
Fine.
I've had
car slamming. Tire slashing.
I'm okay with that. Because then a week later, it's like, wow.
That's not public. It's personal.
But when you take out time to put it in writing and take an ad out, there is some scope. Ooh, that is.
Well, look at this. I mean, there's a difference. You know, it's so funny. I was just thinking about this to bring it back to music. The Carrie Underwood story, the Carrie Underwood song Before He Cheats, Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
But none of the lyrics say, I'm going to take out an ad, a full page ad, but no. When you're scratching your nails, when she's scratching your nails, do you think of me? I'm going to take a Louisville Slugger to your car. None of them say, I'm taking out a Billboard ad. Dude, because that's crazy.
Yeah. Big show going on tomorrow night. Talked to Tommy Williams yesterday. Going to meet with him next week about some potential shows at the Workplay.com website. Check it out. Cowboy Mouth is coming to town. I found an autographed Cowboy Mouth CD while I was going through my stuff.
You got a lot of stuff.
I do. They're going to be coming to town, and they're playing for $25. Shows tomorrow night at Workplay. Check out Workplay.com, and you can check out Cowboy Mouth. They're fantastic. And, we keep talking about how all these shows are like $600-$700. The Eagles show looks like it's already sold out, but tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. I don't know what the deal is there.
I'm very upset about that, by the way.
You go to, and it says tickets go on sale tomorrow. I went looked at Eagles tickets for Birmingham, and it looks like the damn thing sold out.
There's a pre-sale today. Which I understand. I got a notice for a pre-sale for special.
Don't tell me when tickets are going on sale for a show, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're going to be gone.
It's not fair. And particularly the Eagles. Like Don Henley, Mr. The environment. Oh, shit. You should not have a $300 show where I have to sit in the nosebleeds for $300.
What are you willing to see here in a different bracket than I am?
No, but
What are you willing to spend for the Eagles show? Knowing it'll probably be the last time.
That's exactly, in my head, it was probably the last time that they'll see. So I was like, and we live in Birmingham. So the chances that they're going to be here,
it ain't going to happen.
So I was like, I was all in my head. I'm in. As soon as I saw, this is just me, over $200. Well, first of all, over $200, and this is real important, I can't see them.
Yeah.
That's in the crappy seats.
Yeah.
I'm not paying $200 to not be able to see them. Now, if I was on the floor, or if I was up in
just the seat, you could see them. Doesn't matter where you're at, you can see them. I mean, you're up in the rafters, you can still see them.
Not really. That's what I'm saying. So up in the, if you ask me.
Say medium seats. Back of the floor. Not great seats, but not bad seats. Where you're
I paid $200. But these that we saw, at least what you show me, it was like $250, $270 up in the.
Yeah.
That's terrible. By the way, I'm going to give you a little tidbit about the Lakers and Jerry Buss. This is a really interesting factoid, I think, that I heard the other night. They were talking about when the Lakers started. When Jerry Buss started pushing to make the Lakers Showtime, and they're like, okay, because they were going bankrupt.
Uh-huh.
The NBA was going bankrupt, and he's like, we're going to invite celebrities, etc. And we're going to jack up the prices on the front row seats. And all the other owners were like, you're ruining this for everybody. And so, and on one hand, you're thinking, okay, this is classic. Now, if you try to go to a Laker game, front row seats, first of all, you can't get them.
Yeah.
Second of all, they're $2,000. But what Jerry Buss did was he jacked those up and then lowered the prices of the upper seats so that everybody could come see the game. Yeah. So I think that's why I'm pissed. Yeah. Like, whatever amount, $50 should be $75, whatever it is. In the nosebleeds, should be cheaper.
Yeah.
It is getting to the point where it's ridiculous. And you can help me understand this. Who's that on? Is that on the Eagles? Is that on the promoters? Who is that?
I don't want to say it's on the band. I know the Bruce Springsteen thing came out and tickets were $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, and Ticketmaster came out and said, 88% of our ticket prices are anywhere between $59 and $99, whatever. But obviously if you want great seats, you're gonna pay. Most of the bands don't really want to be involved in that aspect. They're like, you take care of it, and I know it comes back in the bands because people want to see them. But ultimately, it's a supply and demand situation.
Right.
If you can sell tickets for $500 a piece and it sells out, then you sell tickets. If I could sell radio ads for $500 for 30 seconds and get it, then I'd do it. It's not worth it.
Well, then you need to have public service. There needs to be a section of seats.
Yeah.
That are lower cost.
For example, one of my new clients, Coosa Valley Auto, they're paying $20 a pop. I talk about them, and people are like, $20? I'm like, $20 a pop. Is it worth more than that? Probably, but I want to get them on the air. They're fantastic, and I believe their product. Brad, Al, David, Shane, Dakota, Jeremiah, all the guys and girls do a wonderful job up there. It's a customer co-op. The cars that they get on the lot, they call them Easter eggs. They get there in the morning, there's like six or seven new cars in the lot. When they get their Easter eggs, they go through the whole process, make sure everything's good to go, and they're usually in the lot 2 to 3 days, and they're gone. So if you go to CusaValleyAutoSale.com, and see some pictures of some vehicles, even some videos, maybe you don't see pictures, it's probably because their car is already gone, and they have to constantly update their website throughout the day. That's how quick these cars go. That's how many people want to buy cars from Coosa Valley Auto Sale. I've done a crap ton of car commercials. I know how it works. And felt incredibly comfortably, sat down with me, Al did, talked to me about how the whole process is, what they pay for the car, what I'm going to pay for the car. The other thing is, I think super cool, is if you buy a car from them, because there are things that happen, if the car you buy ends up having an issue, bring it back, they'll fix it for free.
That's great.
You got to pay for the parts, but they'll fix it for free, no labor. And labor is always $300. His number is 256-267-0296, 256-267-0296. Before we get into a man dating expert, finally, talk about another one of our great sponsors here on Tony Curry Radio and on Facebook Live.
Yeah, let me tell you about John Gray, because I love talking about John Gray. I talked to actually literally yesterday, had a conference call with John Gray. John Gray is a financial service advisor, but he does everything. He does taxes, he does wealth management, debt management, savings, college savings, and he does it for people all over the country. He works with Driscoll Gray. Go to DriscollGray.com. But here's the best thing about John Gray and his financial services advice. He's always taking into account not just the markets, but the markets and what your life is.
Yep.
So we have conversations. Jules and I have conversations with John Gray. Not every week. Sometimes I do. But as things are changing. We got one kid out of college. We got another kid in college. The markets are so volatile right now that most of us have no idea what to do. And so most of us just put our money into some sort of retirement thing, and we don't think about it. Well, you should think about it.
Yeah.
And that's what John Gray does. John is there to answer those questions. Go to his webpage, DriscollGray.com, get his market insights. Call him today. You want to work with someone you can trust, and John Gray.
I saw something this morning where Warren Buffett is taking all of his money and moving it into really conservative type of stuff because there's going to be a big bust coming up. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's so interesting. John Gray said that 2 days ago.
There's going to be
a
blow up. There's just too many things changing at one time. It's going to blow up and people are going to freak out. All right, Jake Maddock, who is Australia's self-described, a lot of Australian news today. Self-described tough love relationship coach has revealed his top tips.
I'm sorry.
He believes he's cracked the code when it comes to landing and building a 10 out of 10 relationship.
Okay. Okay.
After struggling for years to get it right. First of all, he says that single women should be dating men at least 10 years older than them. Let me preface this right here. I am on board with everything in this article. Everything in this article. And I'll tell you,
you know what's happening right now? Can I see it with my head? I'm yeah. having that those the conflict fantasy.
Let me explain to you why he said what he said.
Okay, I'm gonna listen. Go ahead.
First of all, men don't mature at the same speed or the same level as women do. Hell, I'm 56 and I don't consider myself mature yet. That's why you see Charles Barkley almost at the age of 60 finally having this, oh, I'm a role model. And 30 years ago, he's like, hey, I'm a damn role model. You're a role model now. And he's finally coming to grips that I'm 60 years old and he's realizing what is important in his life, right? Because when you're 30 and 40 making millions of dollars, you don't really give a rat's ass.
Okay.
An older man is likely to be less commitment phobic and more decisive about where he wants to take the relationship. Very true. He will also have a more mature viewpoint when it comes to solving problems and relationship issues. He pointed out that dating an older man will help him step into his masculine energy and be a leader in the relationship, which only enhances his attractiveness.
Stop.
A lot of guys are a little older.
Did you just say that? Be the leader in the relationship? Or eight?
Be the leader in the relationship. A lot of guys who are 40s and 50s, maybe even 30s, have been beaten up, have gone through a divorce, have lost a lot of things in their life, and they're insecure. And so by being the older man, the more stable individual, maybe he's got a better job and taking care of someone younger.
So pathetic.
He will have made his mistakes and then likely to repeat them. He won't play silly games. He chooses you for better reasons, will appreciate you more.
Sure.
George Clooney did it. He was 52. She was 27. Jerry Seinfeld did it. Alec Baldwin's done it. Harrison Ford did it. He's like, look at all the successful, and every one of these marriages in Hollywood have been successful for years.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
So, Jake shares his five pillars for the 10-for-10 relationship, and then I'm going to tell you his most controversial. Jake's brilliant, man.
Jake,
I speak for every man here, and every guy listening to this right now is like, he's right.
Of course.
Raise attraction. It's easy to fall into lazy habits when you feel comfortable with your other half. Okay. Don't. Yes, you have to be loved for who you are, but keep the best parts of who you are at the forefront, the parts they fell in love with.
That's true. Great. Of course.
Good. Number two, masculine and feminine energy were not all the same. Respect each other's differences. Men and women don't think or act alike. Mm-hmm. Understand and appreciate differences and use them to build a relationship that's that's richer rather than using them to tear a relationship down.
100% agree with that.
Courtship. Remember the thrill of dating? Don't stop that thrill. Relationship will wither, whether it lapses into monotonous routine. Boredom makes people look excitement, or boring people look for excitement. That's one thing we're all wired to do. And then, again,
these are not, okay, first of all,
are just his five pillars.
No, I know, but they're not his. They're like, that's great.
Intimacy.
What's his name? Jake?
Jake.
Okay, Jake.
Intimacy. Keep making love. Keep those intoxicating love hormones flowing. Keep the bond between you strong. And
absolutely.
By the way, in his five controversial dating tips, he said there's absolutely no reason why couples shouldn't be intimate with each other at least 3 times a week. He said, I don't care what the situation is, argue whatever. I don't care how long you've been dating somebody, how old you are. There's no reason, and intimacy doesn't always have to be penetration or sex.
There you go.
But 3 times a week is inexcusable. If you can't find 3 times a week, I don't care what your situation. Communication. This one is tricky. Men and women often communicate differently. Mm-hmm. Allow honesty to come without being defensive. Mm-hmm. Conversely, be kind, not cruel. Mostly talk. Don't bottle things up, especially hurt, slights, and anger. You can be vulnerable. Talk can be forgiving. And conversation can make understanding and togetherness grow. You good with those?
Yeah.
All right. That's so
not, that where's the controversial? Those are the controversial ones.
No, those are his five pillars. I told you.
Oh, this
listen,
is still his. Okay.
Those are five pillars, the basis of a great relationship. Listen to my ass.
Yeah, he's copying stuff.
You're getting all excited about men being 10 years older because it's true. It is bothering you.
No, it's not true. Go ahead. Keep going.
Straight from the Jake Maddox reels. I love you. These five are spot on.
Okay.
And there's not a man or a woman watching right now that won't agree with these. Okay. If you really want to be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. now you can sit there and go, ah, oh, that's bullshit, he's insecure, da-da-da. No, these are true. This goes along with men always drive, men change the oil in the car. Women don't want men to be indecisive. We want to figure things out. That's what guys do.
But men don't want women.
We go out and kill our food, bring it back to you, and you love us for it.
You love this.
Number one, women should move in with their man, or couples should get a new place together. A man should never move into his female partner's place.
Let's say it again. Women should move in with the
women man. Women can move in with a man, or they can go get their own place, but men should never move into the woman's place.
Why?
Why should he?
Why?
Why should he?
Why should she move into his?
Because the man...
See, this is where this is bullshit. Huh? This is classic. This is a guy who's had been scorned so many times, who has no insight
at all. I have moved in with two women, and it blew up in my face.
But they should move in
because
with you.
Because men don't...
See, now I get... So, listen. If you say you should get a place together, i.e. a new neutral territory,
yeah, I'm okay with that.
But this whole... But again, this is
if you're
classic.
Just trying to save, if you're just trying to save money... Now, the only time you want to move in is if you've got a roommate or you've got
but
a
why? But why? What's his reason? He has no reason.
Number two, couples have no excuses not to be in it three times a week. I mentioned that.
Fine.
Relationships aren't about equality. They're about love and happiness, which is why you shouldn't demand things to be 50-50.
No. Right.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, because if you, on the whole... It is. It ends up being 50-50, if you will.
Yeah.
For this area, I bear 70% of the load. I'm better at this than you are. This is how it works in a relationship. You acknowledge, you know what, you're much better at doing this than I am. So that, yes, it doesn't have to be 50-50 for everything, but you better be really careful that on the whole, it feels like there's a partnership. That's my only thing.
Absolutely. And, okay. And we talked about this a lot. If you ever go through a divorce and you got to go before a judge, there's going to be like, well, I do this, 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 and this, and this. And all of a sudden you feel like, damn, what the hell do I do? Sometimes, and the woman usually takes care of the budget sometimes, or she takes care of the kids while he's working. And it does appear that she's a much bigger part of their life. But the man's part is the emotional attachment, the engagement with the kids, being there for all their games, doing all those different things, and it's hard to do this. That's where a great marriage works. If you sit down and say, okay, who's going to do the laundry? Who's supposed to do the dishes? Who's supposed to clean the house? Who's supposed to take the kids to PTA? Who's supposed to do da 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 da? And normally, don't have those discussions. It just happens. Well, I want to do this. Okay, great. That's fine, and that's all good as long as you're both doing things equally. That's why guys go, if you start cleaning the house, you're going to get laid more. Maybe. But it doesn't mean guys shouldn't go out. I always cut the grass. My wife never cuts the grass.
That's
okay,
fine.
Great. That's your thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you can't step over a little bit and say, I want to be part of this. I would love to do the dishes for you. I would love to do the laundry for you.
I'm sorry.
Can I help you clean the house? And yeah, guys are like, wow, works really good. No shit. It's because you're crossing over and you're helping a little bit. Do the right thing, guys.
Well, 52% is okay.
Exactly.
You're
going to
be okay.
What gets a little tricky is when she decides to go out and get a job, or she wants to start her second career, or do something, and all of a sudden, okay, well, who's going to do this? Well, who do you think's going to do that?
See, and
well, wait a minute, you always take the kids to that, and if you're not going to be in town because you're working, then who's going to do that? Don't be dumbass. That's where you have to sit down and say, okay, so how are we going to, and usually it's just role-playing.
We are trained and acculturated to not be accommodating.
Yeah, we have
women are taught early on, so much so. I had a conversation yesterday with a client, and this is real. It was really telling. We were talking about she was going to have a big meeting. Mm-hmm. Her boss is male.
Yeah,
and she was asking for something. She's a senior position. She was asking for something that she wanted for employees. Mm-hmm. Her opening statement was she was apologized. She's going to open to have the conversation with she was going to apologize for a long email that she had sent. Mm-hmm. Not a scathing email, but just, it was too long and should have been. And I'm like, why do you apologize? That's not what this meeting is about.
Yeah.
She said, well, I need to apologize. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. And her comment was, she said, my whole life I've been taught that the entryway in is to apologize for anything that you may have done.
Oh, wow.
But that's not extreme. I mean,
yeah.
And as a man, I'm like, no, 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 no. But yes, women are, but that's why guys, when there's a switch, oh, I want to go to work, right? Oh, well, who's going to take care of things? You are.
Yeah.
Well, I, I can't. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's this, it's, we are taught to not.
And you need to have that difficult discussion before it changes, because we don't adapt very well. And what ends up happening is, well, she's certainly going to take care of everything she needs to take care of and work too. Because that's the way it's always been.
But that's,
I've never done that. She knows my work.
HR,
she knows my
But
thing.
That's patriarchy, because you know why? Because our moms did that.
And so things don't get done.
Right.
And so you're walking around the house going, damn, look at this nasty place. I'm used to a clean house. And she's looking at you going, yeah, well, I'm not working 4 hours a week. So what are we going to do? And it turns into World War III. And it's like, you need to have this
But look how bad it makes us look. Like, just think about it.
If you truly support her, then you do that.
Then you pick... Go ahead. All right, keep going.
Men must plan, pay for, and execute the entire date. And women should never ask a man out first. I'm going to back off that last part, because I have been asked out a couple times, and I really like it.
I do too.
That's why we have Sadie Hawkins dances. We love Sadie Hawkins dances. Remember Sadie Hawkins dances?
Yeah.
We used to love those, because insecure guys, the girls had to ask the guys to dance, and we really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have to figure out whether you like us or not. We already know. And, man, that's the worst part of the whole relationship, is the rejection, right? We hate asking a girl out. This whole, it asked me out 6 times before I finally went out. We've been married for 50 years. Bullshit.
Right.
Whatever. Guys ain't asking a girl out. Or if they do, they're creeps. You know, they're gonna do something nasty to you. Guys don't ask girls out 6 times before they finally get, oh, he finally loved me. Oh, he finally won me over. And then you're on.
You're asking line. Out
and
six.
She killed your ass.
Right.
Yeah. But I do like the idea. I do think most women like a man that takes initiative. And if you ask a woman out, and then she goes, great, I'll pick you up Friday night, 8 o'clock, and he pulls up the house, and she gets in the car, what are we doing tonight? I don't know, what do you feel like doing?
No, like,
women hate that shit.
But that's
don't
not,
do that.
I don't like, listen.
Have a plan, at least the first couple of dates, have a plan, say, we're going to go out and have dinner. You don't have to order for her, hold her chair, pay for the dinner, something like that. Yeah.
That's a human thing. Yeah. Like, the reason I'm saying that is, I work with folks of all sexuality, all gender preferences.
Mm-hmm.
That's a human thing.
Yep.
It's not a man-woman thing. So think about it. If you show up, if you are a gay, straight, woman, man, whatever, and you show up, you say, I'm going to take you out. Doesn't matter who, what you are. And you show up and you go, what do you want to do?
Yep.
That's just poor planning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a gender thing. I mean, like, that's a human thing. If you are going to initiate the evening, then you need to initiate the entire evening, or at the very least, say, before you pick them up, I was going to pick you up around 8, wasn't sure exactly what you want to do, let's talk about it. You don't show up and then ask what you want to do.
Yeah, well, and hopefully, by talking to her, because I'm assuming you would know her a little bit, before, unless you're on a dating app or something, but you probably converse with her, you kind of know what she's into, whether she likes chicken, steak, sushi, whatever, and you're going to already have a plan. But most times, when I've taken women out, I've got the night planned. If it changes during it, fine.
That's right.
But for the most part, they'll go, where are we going? And I'm like, we're going to go here,
yes,
and we're going to do this.
Because
this
it's your party.
Yeah.
You're planning the party.
Exactly. And finally, and I love this, relationships don't need to be fought for. No fighting involved in an ideal relationship because you both want it. I love this.
Oh, fighting for the relationship, not no fighting in the relationship.
The whole, this is the John Wayne, you got to fight for her. No, I don't. No, I'm not, and I'm not going to. Other guy's hitting on her. You got to go fight for her. I'm not doing that. I am not. I've always thought to myself, if she wants to be with me, then she wants to be with me.
I'm waffling only on. Here's the only part I'm waffling on. Kind of how we're defining fight. I'm a little. There's a little part of that that makes me, because of what you just said. Well, she wants to be with me, she'll be with me. It kind of gives us the out of I am who I am.
Yeah.
You do have to fight for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is you have to be dedicated to making this thing good for both of you. And if it's not going good and you want to be in it,
mm-hmm.
then you have to fight for it too.
I'm going to change fight to work.
Okay, so you would say
you have to work for
yes.
it. You have to work for it. You have to work hard at it. Marriage is good, Lord Almighty.
Marriage
is you got to work. If you think you just lay back and we're married and it's all good for here on out, you ain't gonna last long.
Right.
You got to work for it.
Absolutely.
You have to stay on it. You have to stay fresh. You have to stay exciting. You have to keep. you know, all the things that, that you have to do, the courtship, you have to honor her, you have to do all those
wonderful things. Well, I think that's what
it is. But, I mean, fighting for a relationship, one of those things where you feel like maybe she's even ghosting you a bit to the point where
you're
it's
right.
like, then that's, he I'm not, and I, that's the whole, if I ask you, I, we used to have that girl call our show all the time. She'd say no to every guy because she wanted him to fight for her. And I'm like, that don't work.
No, and I think what he is saying is, if I'm putting words in his mouth, but I don't care because some of the stuff's...
Brilliant guy. Brilliant. Australian
guy. No, listen, first of all, he lifted most of...
Dad got with this guy.
No, listen, he lifted most of the stuff from the research, so, which is great. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. They're his, but they're not his.
I wonder what his wife thinks about this.
He's probably not married.
He is married.
Is he married?
Well, yeah, he dated for years, and that's why he's... And
yeah.
Got like
she's probably months. Going, she's probably, yeah, you know, if you want to make Mr. Ego and Mr. You're Mr. Successful.
Do you know any marriage counselors are divorced?
Yeah. Well, it's just...
Oh, do you think that's...
I don't, I'm trying to think if the... Actually, there's some research on this. I'm trying to think if the rate of divorce... I know that the rate of divorce is higher in psychologists than the average population... The problem with that is, like, the rate of lawyers' divorce is higher than everybody's.
Yeah.
So, that.
But
the fighting. So, the fighting. By the time you're fighting for the relationship, mm-hmm. it's done.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's saying, is that you should never have to fight for it.
Yeah.
Because if you're fighting for it, or you're scrambling to get it, then they're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Now let me go back to your divorce thing. Like a divorce attorney, and they're divorced, you're like, well, why should I go to that person? Or if you're going to a marriage counselor who's been divorced three times, much like you've already said, you're a psychologist. You're super smart. You know how to fix things. But you're human.
Of course.
And you always said, I got the same issues everyone else has. I just have a name for it. So just because they're not good at using their own advice in their situation because it takes two doesn't mean they're not really, really good
Absolutely.
At what they do.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it's good to have that outside, you know, you don't need to perform brain surgery to be a brain surgeon.
Yes, you do. That's the difference.
No, that's what I'm saying is that a lot of people would say, you don't need to have had
brain surgery. Oh, had. You said perform.
No, you don't need to have had brain surgery to perform brain surgery. That's my point. He's never had brain surgery. How the hell does he know how to do it? Well,
what you just said was you don't have to perform brain surgery to be a brain surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, but like, I
want That's what I said. No,
I want to make sure my brain surgeon, hi. Have you ever performed brain surgery? No, but I watch YouTube videos.
There was a first.
Yeah.
So he didn't perform brain surgery?
At some point. But they were supervised by an attendant.
Do you remember your first patient?
Yeah. I told you this. I scared them off. I told you this. I scared them off. I was so, you know me. My first patient, I get to see a patient. I've read all the literature. I am so ready to see this patient. Here we go. And they come into the clinic. This was so great. And I had my shirt on.
And they know they were the first?
It was a student clinic. Oh. So they didn't know that it was my first patient. They knew that we were graduate students, and they knew we were being supervised.
Yeah.
But graduate students, it could have been my 100th patient. But this was my first.
Yeah.
And I read the intake. Mm-hmm. This wasn't in a hospital. This is an outpatient-like therapy. And... depression, mild depression, and a little bit of anxiety, and coming to seek psychotherapy. And I was trained in cognitive behavioral therapy, and I knew all the literature, but I wasn't sure if that was going on. So I did all the things you're supposed to do. Hello. And this is what we're talking. What brings you here today? That's the opening. What brings you here today? Which you're like, and when you first started, you're like, okay. What brings you here? And she's like, well, haven't been sleeping that good, and, you know, I'm just not that interested in things. And in my mind, and you know me better than anybody else, I'm like, oh, my God, it's depression. Yes. That's criteria one, criteria two, criteria three. And all this was videotaped because we had to go for supervision purposes. It was videotaped. And so she's like, this, and I'm listening. I'm and I was waiting for her to finish speaking. And she's like, yeah, that's kind of what's going on. And I'm like, I can help you. Here's what we need to do. And I talked about irrational thoughts and irrational beliefs, and we're going to test these beliefs with homework, and it's going to help you, and you're going to feel better, and we're going to treat this depression, and you and me, and we're in there. And she's like, okay, that's great, that's great. Follow-up appointment next week. Next week, they call me to the clinic, your appointment's not here. And I said, what's going on? She decided she's not coming back. I'm like, what happened? So show the videotape.
She wasn't ready.
Show the videotape.
Yeah.
In the videotape, I was in a rolling chair. The second I knew the diagnosis, I rolled one foot in front of her face. You can see her going back. And my supervisor is like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? I knew what the problem was. And yes, it is exactly, this is it. It's like, we can know all this stuff, but yeah, we got to see our first patient. And this is what I was saying about him. Having had the problem, I'm going to be careful what I say about this, because I'm a big, don't go become a therapist just because your life has been traumatic.
Yeah.
That's not. Having had some of those experiences definitely adds something to your ability to help people.
Sure, yeah.
And I think that's really important. Just don't go do it as your own experience.
Sky Trucks, good morning to you. Tommy Williams, tuning in this morning. Greatly appreciate you watching the Curry and Claypo Show. We're on every single Thursday, and of course, we're also on Fox 6. We'll get into the story about the woman who posted the $1,500 ad, basically calling out her boyfriend, husband, whoever it was, for cheating on her. And then using his credit card, which, by the way, they didn't charge to actually pay for the ad. We'll talk about that. We got into a lot of that. Make sure you check out all of the wonderful shows, including Curry and Claypo. Go to Tony Curry Radio Podcast. We're on every major industry out there, everything from iTunes, iHeart. We're on Audio Boom, Spotify, everything. Our shows, Mission Minded, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do Adapt to Perish, 7 o'clock at night. The Damon Johnson Show runs at 3. We have Win in Rome with Stuart Rome, 5 o'clock. Need to Know, which is our fastest growing show. I've known Kip Kiever for a long time.
Yep.
He'll play both sides of the aisle, and I
love
that.
It's deceiving. Like, when I first met him, I'm like, oh, look at, he's lived like
the show,
because
it's one of the few shows that I'm not part of it, so I record it, and I listen to the whole thing, and I get a smile on my face because he pushes buttons.
Yes.
He reminds me of a younger me, but he's older than I am. Anyway, it's a great show called Need to Know with Kip Kiefer that runs every single day. That runs at 6 o'clock. Then, of course, we have the Damon Johnson Show. We have Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks, and also our Live Wire Wednesday show. Last night, Live Wire Wednesday, 8 o'clock, we had like 40-something thousand people in Australia. That's probably what we're doing, all these Australian stories. We did every song that had to do with body parts from AC/DC.
That's quite a lot.
Kick to the Teeth, Big Balls, Rain Shake. It was a great show. Any of our shows that got music on them, you go to Spotify. We're one of the only platforms in the country who do Spotify podcasts with music in them. Win in Rome, Blues Almighty, Damon Johnson. We have a couple more we're going to be starting here in the next couple of weeks. And it's a super cool platform, so check that out. Go to Spotify, search Tony Curry Radio or Tony Curry Radio Podcast. You can hear them all. And, of course, on the TKR app, hear us live every single day. TKR app, download the Tony Curry Radio app. It's TKR. You'll be doing us a huge favor. Thanks to tens of thousands of folks who have already gotten after it and done that for us. Have yourself a great day. We'll be on Fox 6 at 9:35 this morning with Janice and Dubs. Looking forward to having them on. We want to thank them big time for the partnership. We were on 3 times last week. We're almost, with you.
Yeah.
We were on solo. What do they call those circles? What do they call that circle thing? The Tatana? What is it called?
What?
You know, when you do the circles, and you overlap the circles.
Venn diagram?
Yes, we had a Venn diagram last week. You had your circle, I had my circle, then we did our circle together.
Oh, yes, okay. I thought you lost your mind.
We were like a couple.
We are.
I did. All right, have yourself a great Thursday, and thanks for watching here on the Curry and Claypo.